Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
To the house of the Lord again tonight. Happy Martin Luther King Day. I listened to several of his sermons and speeches, and they are, talk about impactful. Every time I hear about former slave owners and slaves sitting at the table together, it just breaks me. It's just God. You know, what insight he had, what powerful insight into the future. And the dream he had, you know, what impacts me is that he knew he wasn't going to make it. He said, I've seen over into the promised land, but I may not get to go with you there. And indeed, he did not. His dream was for his children. He had four children. Oh, Lord, may we dream not just for ourselves, selfish dreams, but for other people. Tonight, we are going to continue on the patriarchs and Jacob, in particular, the life of Jacob, which teaches us so many wonderful, wonderful life lessons. But I want to talk to you first for just a minute from my heart and some things that I have learned and that were just powerful to me. I want to talk to you for a minute about Jacob and Esau. And first, I want to talk to you about there is a scripture in the Bible that some have misquoted and misinterpreted that says, God said, you know, for I have loved Jacob and I have hated Esau. And that a lot of times has troubled people, but I want to tell you that we all know who are here tonight that God does not hate anyone. God is love, and he does not hate anyone. He doesn't even come close to hating anyone. But Esau was very blessed by God, and we're going to get to that later in the end when you see Jacob and Esau reuniting, and Jacob's offering restitution for what had happened, and he's offering to give him all of these gifts and all of these things. And Esau said, no, thank you, I have plenty. And here's what I want to say to you. Although Isaac at one time had to admit, I do not have anything else to give you. I don't have a blessing. Let me tell you something. God does have a blessing. When other people don't have a blessing left to give you, that doesn't mean that God doesn't have something for you and a blessing. So that should encourage us tonight. But when it talks about and says that God said, for Jacob I have loved and Esau I have hated, the interpretation is completely incorrect. That word hate is an English language that is not our English word for hate, that we mean despise, cannot stand, cannot intolerable. The word hate here means, let me give you a better translation. For Jacob have I loved and honored, and Esau I do not respect. The word is respect. It is a clear word. I do not respect or honor Esau. Why would God not respect or honor Esau? Well, it's very, very simple to explain. He despised his birthright. Now, in order to understand why he despised his birthright, you have to know first what a birthright is, right? We might need a little bit of an education on that. And we need to understand that he was wanting the blessing. Jacob was wanting the blessing and the birthright. They are two different things. But the birthright is not just land, and it is not limited to inheritance. Both boys were entitled to a measure of an inheritance, but a birthright also meant that you would get a double portion of the inheritance, okay? That was a double portion. But to understand why he may or may not have despised the birthright, which he did despise it, the birthright meant that you got to also be the number one son. You got to understand birthright laws. You got to be the number one son. You were officially pronounced as the number one son. And here's the situation. That's like you telling me, you know, Pam, as the oldest, someday you get all the farm. It's all going to belong to you. Well, that don't help me today when I want super porridge, does it? It doesn't help me when I want to go to the mall today to tell me that I get something in the future. And sometimes when somebody tells us that, we're like, well, I don't care nothing about that. I don't want to hear about what you're going to give me, Dad, later in the future. But there's also something else that maybe you did not know about birthright laws. When you received the birthright and you became aka number one son, you also, with the birthright, carries much responsibility. It's like saying, Pastor Pam, you get to be number one. You get to be number one around here. And you know what? That sounds good to me on paper. Until you tell me what my responsibilities are. You're going to have to take care of all the people. And that's, by the way, what the birthright number one son meant. You're going to have to take care of mom and dad and the widows in your family, the aunts, the elderly aunts, the people. And you're going to have to take care of all these possessions that I give you. You're going to also be kind of their pastor, too. So, and by the way, this is why they gave the person a double portion. So that they could fill what was responsibility. Do you know how hard that is? Say, I'm going to give you, it sounds good on paper. Your number one son, you're going to get a double portion. Well, then you're going to have to spend it because you're going to have to help all these other people, right? So then it doesn't sound so great. And so for reasons unknown to us, Esau didn't want that, but Jacob kind of understood delayed gratification. And you know, Esau did not want that, and later he lived with regret. But here's another situation I want to talk to you about, and it's the prophecy and that God gave Rebekah. And we look at it in Genesis 25 and 23, and it says basically, and by the way, Jacob stole that birthright, and you know it well. But by the way, in Genesis 25 and 23, the statement that God talked to Rebekah was that the older will serve the younger. There was nothing in there in the prophecy set that said that there anything about birthright. Okay, this was something that happened on their own. But we're going to talk about so much tonight and cover a little bit of ground. But we're going to talk, I've titled this, Jacob, Man on the Run. Man on the Run. And you know, in life, we're all running all the time. But I guess I want to pose the question, if you should go home tonight or think about this lesson at a later time, who or what are you running from and why? And where are you running to? And so we're going to talk about this because Jacob's going to land tonight at a certain place, which actually means a very specific place, and he's going to meet God at that place. But I want to say something else. We're going to find that later on he puts his head on a stone, which a stone doesn't make for a very good pillow. But I want to say something. Have you ever heard the term between a rock and a hard place? That's where Jacob was. That's where Jacob was, between a rock and a hard place. And he wound up using the stone for his pillow. But I want to tell you, when you're in a hard place, God's still full of mercy and grace. I want you to remember that. When you're in a hard place, God's still full of mercy and grace. And no matter, God can use imperfect people. So we left off on December 19th in Genesis 27, where Jacob deceived his father Isaac, and he stole the birthright from Esau, his brother. The reason I told you about Rebekah and the prophecy that there was no mention of birthright is because if God wanted him to have the birthright, could have been clear. But I want to begin by saying first that God has plans for every one of us. It doesn't matter if your name is Jacob, and it doesn't matter if your name is Esau. God had planned to raise Jacob up, yes, and bless him, and that Esau would serve him, and Esau could have graciously went along with the program. But if God truly wanted Jacob to have the blessing, the birthright, how can I then say that he stole the birthright? Let me explain it like this. He stole it because he took it instead of allowing God to give it, okay? God may have planned to bless some of you financially. That doesn't mean you need to go out and rob a bank to make that happen, and thus by steal a blessing that God would have indeed given you. And so that's the situation here. God may have given him that, but instead he took it. That's called stealing. And so he did, and he caused that. God could have given him that in a much easier, smoother way, and everybody could have been blessed by it, but Jacob and all of them were guilty. Okay, I want to say that. In chapter 27, Esau is angry, and the word anger, when you have anger, you add a D to the beginning of that, and you have danger. anger, one letter away from danger. Anger equals danger. And Esau's angry at Jacob. He's waiting for his father Isaac to die so that he can kill Jacob. And I want to say before we continue that in this situation, every one of the parties here are guilty of wrongdoing. Or in Isaac's case, it's not discerning, not even knowing your sons well enough, being able to know your sons well enough to know that to even tell them apart. He should have given the blessing publicly. We talked about that, and he did not. Rebekah and Isaac were wrong, both of them, for having a favorite child. We do not do that. All of us should be loved the same, even though we have different gifts. They were not on the same page at all. They had divided their very own household, if you will, correct? And Esau was wrong for selling his birthright and despising his birthright. They were all wrong, and of course we know that Jacob was leader of the pack in the fact that he went along, knowing better, by the way, knowing better, Mom, we shouldn't be doing this, we shouldn't be doing this, we shouldn't be doing this, and doing it anyway, like a lot of people do. So I want to say that God had great plans for Jacob, and that's good news for us tonight. Even though we fail and fall, God doesn't change his mind. The call of God is without repentance. He does not change his mind about using us for his honor. God uses imperfect people. There are no other kind to choose from. Rebecca and Isaac hear that Esau is planning to kill Jacob. Rebecca tells Jacob to leave and go to her brother Laban's house in Haran. I kind of like the sound of that word Haran because Jacob, he ran to Haran. And Jacob was a man on the run. And Rebekah said this to in Genesis 27:44. Now, tarry with him or stay with him, my brother Laban, for just a few days until your brother's furious anger turns away. A few days? Did you say a few days? It was 20 years full of a few days. That's a whole lot of few days, isn't it? But here's the thing. I'm going to pull this over to Jacob. Sin will take you farther than you intended to go. Jacob, it's going to take you all the way to Haran. Sin will cost you more than you ever intended to pay. Jacob, your wages are going to be changed 10 times. You're going to serve 14 years, 7 for Leah, 7 for Rachel, and then your wages will be changed 10 times. Sin is going to cost you. And sin, Jacob, will keep you longer than you ever intended to stay. You were supposed to stay a few days, but you, my friend, get to stay 20 years to learn some lessons, all because of your own undoing. What a lesson for all of us that we don't want to pay that high of a price. So far, we've learned in this encounter that sin has consequences, and we absolutely don't get to choose what the consequences are. We've learned that we should never try to take a blessing, but we should let God give us a blessing. And I've shared this with many people before. I don't often play the lottery. If my family wins big, I assume they will help me out if Sandra and Dave and Dan do win the big lotto that they're hoping to win. I hope that they're going to do something for Mom and I because we don't play the lotto. But I do believe something, that God knows my address. And if he had lotto-style money for me, that it could come to me, that I would be notified by God and you would all be blessed. But I want to tell you, we don't try to take from God. He's given so much already. He's given us everything we need when he gave his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. That is all we ever need. And I want to say something about our dear sister Rebecca. Her sin also cost her dearly. There is no biblical record of Rebecca ever seeing her favorite, most beloved son ever again. Now, commentaries will try to make that happen unsuccessfully. They have been unsuccessful to this date because there is no record of it. So I want to say that that lesson tonight is that sin separates. Sin separates. I found it interesting that these two who plotted this scheme were separated. And I'm sharing this with you. It's free tonight. Isaac calls Jacob at this time when this happens, and he blesses him. And none of them knew. Rebecca did not know. You will not see him again. I mean, she probably would have given him one more hug, but she would not see him again. But I'll tell you what who she did get to see was Esau, because his wives tormented her. So, you know, isn't this how God works? You know, you got a favorite. Well, bye-bye favorite. You deal with the one that you're not, that you don't like over here. And he told Jacob, Isaac telling Jacob, there's one thing I don't want you to do. You're going to be leaving now. The situation in our family, we are a broken family. We're going to be separated, but I'm giving you some instruction, some wisdom here. Do not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Now, we had the situation with Esau. He's going to take an additional wife from the daughters of Canaan. You know why he took an additional wife from the daughters of Canaan? I bet Tony knows it over there. Because his parents didn't want him to. Have you ever known that? Don't do this. And they're like, I'll do that and then one more. That's what happened. Isaac agrees with Rebekah that Jacob should go to Paddan Aram to her father Bethuel's and Uncle Laban's house. Now, I want to tell you something about the family dynamics in their house. They're screwed up. Mr. Bethuel is not the authority in his house. Laban is the authority. The kid is in charge, in full charge. Laban is in authority. You might as well say to your, and Rebecca had it right, you know, sending him to Uncle Laban over there. But in Uncle Laban, Jacob has met his match. You think Jacob was a deceiver? Honey, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wages changed 10 times. Wait till you get to the speck and the spotted and all this that we're going to get into. But Isaac told Jacob not to take a wife from Canaan. So once again, Esau hurts his father and his mother. He's very, very bitter. He's very, very hurt and crushed. And meanwhile, Jacob, having already suffered somewhat consequences, he's trying to be somewhat obedient because he knows he's in trouble. Esau wants to kill him. Isn't it funny how when we first start to suffer the consequences of our sin and the heat is on, that suddenly we can kind of start to think about obedience for the first time in our entire life? So Jacob leaves, and he's heading toward Haran, toward Bethuel and Uncle Laban's house. He's a man on the run, and what is he running from? First, he's running from the consequences of his own sin, and secondly, he's running from his past, and third, he's running from Esau. He's running from Esau. So let's read a verse. Genesis 28 and 11, and he stopped at a certain place. Now, by the way, a certain place is not just a place of no meaning. In fact, a certain place means an important place. And I say, absolutely, it was an important place. And at that time, it was near a city named Luz, but this particular place had no name, but it's going to get a name. It's going to get a name because Jacob's going to get it a name. And he stopped at an important place, and he tarried there all night long because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place, there was just a bunch of stones, and he put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. It's hard to sleep on a rock, isn't it? He's between a rock and a hard place. And he's no longer at home in his bed. He's at a hard place in life. We've all been at a hard place, and it's likely dark outside. It's a dark night, what they call the dark night of your soul. He was tired. He's on the run. He's lost his family, and it's his own fault. And even though he had been blessed by his father, I'm gonna bet you my money that he did not feel very blessed at that very moment. But God knows. He knows what we're running from. He knows we're in a hard place, and he still cares. And he still has plans for us. And although we give up on people that things like that, bad things happen to, or they do bad things, God never does. And while Jacob sleeps, he has a dream. And Joseph isn't the only dreamer. God still gives dreams and visions. It's from God. Verse 12 says, and he dreamed, and he saw a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached all the way to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending up and down on the ladder. And behold, the Lord stood at the top of it. And he said, he begins to speak. The Lord begins to speak. And he says, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land where you're laying right now, I'm going to give you this land. And to your seed, to your children. Boy, that's a good promise for somebody who's broken and done so many wrong things, and they're in such trouble. And God promised to bless him like his grandfather and his father. And God is speaking of the covenant he made to his grandfather and to his father and now to Jacob. And then he says something that Jacob really needed to hear. I mean, I just know it. He's alone now because sin has separated. And he's the outcast in the family, except for God. Verse 15, and behold, I am with you. I'm right here. God's with us. When we've lost everything, I'm right here with you. And I'm going to keep you. That means I'm going to protect you in all the places, wherever you go. And I'm going to bring you back here to this land that you're laying on. And I will not leave you until I have accomplished that which I have spoken to you right now. Everything I've promised, I'm going to do for you. I'm here with you now. But he says, I don't like just that I'm here with you now. He said, everywhere you go, I will not ever leave you until all has been accomplished. And I'm sure that that had to be such a comfort to Jacob. What a powerful, powerful, amazing dream to have when you're in the place he's in. And at this point, I can tell you Jacob had nobody with him. Nobody was on his side at all. But God gives him this promise. And I want to talk to you about the ladder and what the ladder represents. The ladder that the angels were on going up and down, descending up and down, represents Christ as our mediator between heaven and earth. We do not get to go to heaven without Christ, the mediator. He is the way. Let me read a verse from John 1 and 51. And he saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open. Familiar, right? And you shall see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, upon the mediator. This is Jesus speaking to Nathanael. He said, you will see the heavens open, just like Jacob did, and you will see the angels of God descending and ascending upon the Son of Man. That ladder is Jesus Christ, our mediator, the way that we get to heaven. And God is promising Jacob that he's going to be with him. He's made a way for him, and he's going to protect him. And then Jacob wakes up. And, sometimes after God gives us this dream and God gives him this promise, all of a sudden Jacob is wide awake. And here's his first recorded words, Genesis 28:16. And Jacob woke out of his sleep, by the way, translation, deep sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. How many of you have ever known that I've been places where that God could be in a place and we would not even be aware of his presence. But he's here because he is omnipresent. He is everywhere. It's not that the Lord was in this place that I pull out of this verse. It's that, how did you not know this, Jacob? I think the power is that a light came on for Jacob. God is here in this place with me. Oh, if we could always acknowledge that God is with us and that God is moving and working in our lives. And I thank God for his presence. And I love what King David always said. He said it once that I know of, and I think someone told me he said it twice. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. And why did he say that? Because he knew the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit had departed from King Saul and King David. He was begging God, please don't ever let that happen to me. He prayed that this would never happen to him. I thank God for the presence of the Lord. And Jacob has had this God encounter, and he knows it. But I want to say something about this, because we're going to touch on something real quick here. Jacob still has issues. Do you know that you can have a God encounter and you can realize that God's working in your life and God's presence is here and God's given you great promises and you can even have dreams and visions and still have issues? It's the truth. It's just the truth. You might say, what? What are you talking about? He has a dream. God speaks in the dream. Letter from heaven. Angels still has issues. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Have you ever heard the children sing that song, God's Still Working on Me? That should have been Jacob's theme song right at this point. Let me read you a passage continuing on why I say that Jacob still had some serious issues. Genesis 28, 20 to 22. And Jacob vowed a vow. Sounds good on paper. Saying, here's his words. I'm going to read it to you. And you're going to think it's all pretty until I talk to you. Saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothes to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall God be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar will be God's house. And all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to thee. There's some words in here that are very, very troubling to me. What are you talking about, Jacob? If God will be with me. He just told you he would be with you. What are you talking about? And if God, you'll do this. You'll give me bread. I want you, if you really are going to do this, God, if you do what you're supposed to do, God, well, then you can be my God. Excuse me, you still have some doubts, don't you, Jacob? You still have some issues to be telling God, if you will bring me back to my father's house. Here's what he says. If I come again to my father's house, then you will be the Lord my God. No, he should have been the Lord. He should be saying, you are the Lord thy God. Right now you are my God. Right now I trust you. I know that I'm coming back to this place. I know that you're going to give me bread. I know that you're going to clothe me all the days of my life. Not if you do this, God. How dare I come to God and say, God, if you do this, if you will fill this church up with people, God, if you will provide all of us with a Lexus, maybe a Lincoln Continental, and then you will be the Lord my God, excuse me, that is not the way you talk to the Almighty God, the one who loves you and created you, your creator, your maker and creator. So Jacob, and I'm going to prove it further, but this is his mouth helps us see who he really is. And it sounds beautiful, sounds like he's making some beautiful promise to God, but he's really not. He's saying, if, it's conditional, excuse me. So Jacob is still not willing to completely surrender to God. He does not do that, in fact, until years later. Remember, I said 20 plus years when he heads toward home to meet Isaac at the leading of the Lord, and he has a wrestling match with God. There's a time in our life when our struggle is not with man. It's with God. Your beef is not with man. It's with God. And he's going to wrestle with God. And it's absolutely so beautiful. But Jacob was telling God, if, and he should not have been saying that, because you can't say, if God, you meet your responsibility, and if you, God, keep your promises, well, then I'll serve you, and maybe I'll keep a few of mine, too. He also said, and then I will tithe. God, if you give me the Lexus, again, I submit to you. I'll give you a tenth if you do all this, God. Excuse me? No, God says, give the tenth. He doesn't say, if I do, what? You're putting conditions on God? You're not God. So God wants us to love, honor, and obey him, even if I don't have the fancy clothes I want. Even if sometimes there's not food in the pantry that I think should be in the pantry. I still have to obey God. I do not ever put demands on God. And so Jacob gets up and he leaves the next morning and came to the land of the people of the east. And he saw a well in the field, and there were three flocks of sheep lying by the well, for it was that well where they were watered. There were sheep. A huge stone was at the well's mouth. And Jacob saw this group of men, and he calls them brothers. And he asked them where they were from, and they said, Haran. That was where he was heading. His father Isaac had actually told him to go there. His father Isaac didn't just tell him to go to Haran. His father Isaac told him to go to Haran to get a wife there. So he knew, and he also, his father told him to go to Haran to get a wife and make sure the wife was part of the family, which is not exactly how we do it now, but this is just what was recorded in the Bible. Some of the things in the Bible are for revelation and others are for information. In other words, when you hear about multiple wives and things, that is not a revelation that you should go out and do that. It's not an instruction to go out and do that. It is information of what happened. So you need to be able to discern in your study. And here's what he said. So he decided to ask an obvious question. Do you know Laban, to the men, who was the son of Nahor? Nahor was actually the grandfather of Laban and Rebekah. When he said, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? Laban was actually the son of Bethuel, but in Bible writing, you always acknowledge the grandfather or the patriarch before them as the father father. So Nahor was actually the grandfather, Bethuel the father. So this was basically for patriarch identification purposes, if I can say it like that. And the men said they did know Laban. Jacob asked, how's he doing? Is he well? And they said, he is well. And then they added, and look, here comes Rachel, his daughter, with the sheep. Now, he was told to get a wife from the family. Here comes a family member who is a young lady, maybe about his age, who knows. Jacob tells the men to go ahead and water their sheep. You guys go ahead and water your sheep. But they tell them that they can't, because it was the custom of the day to wait till all the shepherds brought their flocks. It was still early in the day at this time. And then they would roll the stone away, and they watered them all together. Because I love this, that we roll the stone away. And I love the fact that all the shepherds worked together, because that's how all pastors and shepherds should do. They each had sheep, but they were all willing to help each other water each other's sheep. I love that. And they were kind to Jacob, and now here comes Rachel. As soon as he sees her, he is overcome with emotion. She's his cousin. He's separated from his mother, and here's his uncle's daughter, his cousin. Immediately, he rolled the stone away. And why did they? Here's the situation. These guys said, we can't do this because this is not our custom. This is not the way we do it. But there was no such custom for Jacob. They weren't opposed to him doing it. He's one person from out of town. I don't care when you eat or drink, but this is how we're going to do it. And so he rolled the stone away. He kissed Rachel. That's their first kiss. They're going to get married later, so that's okay. And lifted up his voice and wept. I believe it was like love at first sight. In fact, I'm going to say this is later in my notes for next week, but I want to say something. Leah never had a chance. And something that I put in my notes the last time I taught this. It's interesting that Jacob loved Rachel and Rachel loved idols. Rachel didn't love Jacob. Rachel had issues with Jacob. He loved Rachel. Rachel loved idols. Leah loved Jacob, but God loved Leah. God took up Leah's cause. And Leah's story winds up being one of the most beautiful stories I've ever heard, because when God takes up somebody's cause, they get ahead real quick. And he was excited to meet Rachel, and he ran to tell her father. Her father was Bethuel, but we didn't hear from her father immediately. Remember, I told you that the father is not in charge here. It is Uncle Laban. Jacob knows how to trick and deceive, but Laban, he could teach the class on deception. I'm going to ask that our praise team come, and they're going to play a couple songs. We're going to take time to worship. Whatsoever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. That's the Bible way. Now, there is kind of a way out of that. It doesn't always happen that way, because God is sovereign and does what he wants to do. But if you plant tomato seeds, you're going to get tomatoes. And we see that Jacob pretended to be his brother and deceived his father. And in this next week's lesson, we're going to see that Jacob himself is going to be deceived in almost identically the same way, because Leah is going to pretend to be Rachel at the instruction, of course, of her uncle Laban. But it happens this way so much. I see this all the time. I'm going to tell you a story. I actually got permission from Lucy Gollinger, and I think I've told this before. We both have. Many, many years ago in our church, Lucy Gollinger, when her son was very little, there was a man in our church who was very bothered by Lucy's son. And he would go to my dad all the time and tell him, "You've got to shut him down. You've got to shut him up." And my dad would rebuke him. I was actually at the back of the church when my dad said, "No, sir. No, sirree." We know that Stephen, Lucy's son, has autism and has for years, and he is precious. And this man would continually tell my dad, "Shut him down, shut him down." And dad was gracious to the guy. But many years later, my niece, my sister Sandy's daughter, was working in a doctor's office when that man came in. And he had had a son. He had had a son. And Monica was working in the doctor's office. And his son's name was Stephen. How ironic is that? Out of all the names in the world, he chose to name his son Stephen. I doubt he even knew our guy's name was Stephen over here. But he chose to name his son Stephen. But the next words just sent chills down my spine when Monica said, "His little boy is autistic, Aunt Pam." Mic drop. Mic drop. You made fun of this kid, Stephen, autistic, and you now have a... Let me tell you something. Jacob is going to experience this. At what point do you realize, I shouldn't have? We have to treat people like we would want to be treated. We're celebrating tonight Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. What an impact to love people enough to stand up and do the right thing, like Sandra is on the screen. To do the right thing, not the convenient thing. Don't steal somebody else's blessing. You know what? It's not even just taking or stealing somebody else's blessing. Don't even desire somebody. The Bible says don't even want somebody else's blessing. Don't even think about, I shouldn't even think about I want Tony Pacina's blessing. That's not right, because God's got a blessing with your name on it. It's for you. He knows your address. He knows your house. Debbie, he knows how to get it to you, right, Debbie? He knows how to send the check, doesn't he, Debbie? He doesn't send it to nobody else, does he? He knows where you are. So we need to say, God, if somebody else gets blessed, I rejoice. And if I'm Esau and God wants Jacob to have the blessing, then I need to say, then I'm gonna encourage Jacob, because that's how we get ahead in life. Never do anybody any wrong or any harm. So be blessed. We're going to worship tonight, and we're going to continue on the patriarchs. I love the patriarchs.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.